Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies, and our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Well, thanks, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw that Absalom is plotting insurrection against his father, and he's plotting to take over the kingship. So today we're going to pick back up in 2 Samuel, and we're going to see what's happening now. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 15, verses 13 through 26. And a messenger came to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom." Then David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servants said to the king, "Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides." So the king went out and all his household after him. And the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. And the king went out and all the people after him. And they halted at the last house. And all his servants passed by him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the 600 Gittites, who had followed him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner, and also an exile from your home. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us, since I go I know not where? Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you." But Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for life or for death, there also will your servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go then, pass on." So Ittai the Gittite passed on with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. And all the land wept aloud as the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all the people passed on toward the wilderness. And Abiathar came up, and behold, Zadok came also with all the Levites bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God until the people had all passed out of the city. Then the king said to Zadok, "Carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and let me see both it and his dwelling place. But if he says, 'I have no pleasure in you,' behold, here I am. Let him do to me what seems good to him." Okay, remember yesterday that Absalom had gone with 200 men who had no idea what was going on. And it appears that at least one of those men, when they realized what was actually going on, they went back to David to tell him of it. David was afraid, yes, but more than that, he was concerned for what was about to happen. David hears the news of the truth of what Absalom has done, and he gets up and takes his officials with him and flees. This wasn't an act of cowardice, by the way. David was fleeing in order to take the fight away from the city and protect the people in the city from the sword. David leaves 10 concubines behind here, supposedly to look after the household goods and furniture. Interesting thought. I can't imagine that they'd actually be able to do much to prevent something happening to the household goods. They wouldn't have authority or power to do much of anything. However, we will see how this action brings the words of God to fulfillment with the concubines. This is all still part of the punishment David faces as a result of his sin with Bathsheba. Ittai appears to have arrived in Jerusalem the day before, probably from some expedition he and his men had been on. Now notice that Ittai is a Gittite from Gath, of the Philistines. I want to draw attention to that just so that you take note and remember that God always made allowance for people who wanted to turn to him and to follow him, to join in and to become the native in his land as well. And Ittai and his men appear to be of that group of people who chose to follow God. And even though they were Philistines, they turned away from being an enemy of God and turned to being joined with God and with God's people. David gives Ittai permission, though, to stay and rest instead of joining David as he seeks safety among some other place where he even doesn't know where he'll be yet, and it's a lot of wandering around in his future, most likely. He thanks Ittai for his willingness to come along, but lets him know that this extra sacrifice isn't necessary. But Ittai is set to come with. Do you see the people God put around David? They don't argue. They get up. They're ready to go when David is leaving. The loyalty that David has from his people, from the people who really see him and know him, is outstanding. I can guarantee that it wouldn't be the same story for Absalom. The people closest to him know that he got where he is by trickery and deceit. They know they can't trust what he says. One of the first promises he made to any of his men was that he would protect them from the hand of the king when they killed Amnon. And what did he do? He ran away. The people who are with Absalom are with him because they too want power, not because they trust Absalom. David also takes care of the ark. As much as he wants the ark with him, he doesn't want the ark to come into the middle of this battle. Partly this is to keep the ark safe. He knows his son well enough to know his son isn't going to seek God and isn't even going to go and mess about in the tabernacle. But also, it may be that having the ark in his presence, knowing that it held within it the law of God, was too much for David's conscience. He didn't want to be reminded of how he'd broken the law himself and allowed his sons to do it too. The priests offer sacrifices until all the people are safely out of the city, those who came with David, that is, and then David tells them to take the ark and go back into the city. David knows a couple of things. He knows that having the ark does not mean that he has God's blessing with him in battle. He also knows that the ark is a symbol of God's rule over the whole nation, no matter who the king is, and the ark needs to be where the people are. David is ready to accept whatever God has in store for him at this point. But I love seeing how David reacts when there's a national crisis. I tell you what, David did well when things were going terribly. When things were going well, he couldn't seem to remember to look up to God. But when things were going badly, we see David as a leader who considered the ramifications of such a conspiracy and usurpation in the city, the people dwelling in it, and also, we now see David actually leading again. He takes care of what he can by removing the fight from the city, less collateral damage in terms of people and devastation to the city, and he goes. And David seeks God. The part about this whole scene that gets me is the weeping. The whole countryside weeps aloud as David and his court pass by. They don't want their king to go into hiding. They're probably terrified for what this means for them. Will there be war? Battles? A new king? Will he be a good king? Oh, will he be dreadful? The fear and uncertainty of the people as they helplessly watch their beloved king leave the city is palpable to me. Once more, the actions of David, or in this case, the inaction in regards to discipline, affect so many more lives than just himself. The ripples of our actions are so much farther flung than we can even imagine. To me, that is just one more reason to be careful of what I do, to seek God and to try my best to keep my eyes on Him and to do His will every day. I don't always succeed. Some days are far better than others. Remembering the ripple effect on the people around me, especially my family, does help to ground me, though. And I am proud of David here. He leaves the city to protect the people that God has given him to lead. And David is calm and ready to accept whatever God wants of him, even if it means that David no longer gets to be king. As you go through today, ask God to show you the ripples from just one choice or action. Ask Him to help you to see the real consequences of your actions. And ask Him to help that view to help you to make your decisions more wisely. You might be amazed at what He'll show you.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.